He's turning the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 18, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 11, question and answers 29 and 30, page 18. Question 29 asks this: why is the Son of God called Jesus, meaning Savior? Because he saves us from our sins. Salvation cannot be found in anyone else. It is futile to look for any salvation elsewhere. Do those who look for their salvation and security in saints, in themselves, or elsewhere, really believe in the only Savior, Jesus? No. Although they boast of being his, by their deeds they deny the only Savior and Deliverer, Jesus. Either Jesus is not a perfect Savior, or those who in true faith accept this Savior have in him all they need for their salvation. Let us take our Bibles, turn to a few passages, beginning the gospel account of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. It's found on page 1026. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. Congregation, hear now, not my words, the very words of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let us turn over to the gospel account of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 35. It's found on page 1135, John 6. We'll read verses 35 through 40 and then pick up at verse 47. John 6. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then let us turn to the epistle to the Galatians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, page 1235. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians 1. Children, pay close attention here to what the apostle says about those who would preach a different gospel, proclaim a different Savior. Galatians 1, starting at verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, we saw from our scripture reading, the catechism echoed it, that the word, the name Jesus, means Savior. Now, when you think of the word salvation, or you mention to other people in our culture, many people automatically think of religion, don't they? But what if you would use the word security? Often then they won't think of religion, they'll think of something in this earthly life. But in God's eyes, the two are related, salvation and security. And Jesus is the source of both. As I proclaim to you this evening, God saves only by Jesus. God saves only by Jesus. First, we consider a clear sign, a clear sign. Now, maybe you've said, perhaps you've heard someone wish, oh, God would give me a sign. What should I do in this situation? And we think of Gideon in the Bible, and he put out that fleece twice, wanting confirmation of what God was calling him to do. Perhaps, and you yourself have wanted God to give you a sign, maybe about what college should I go to? What career should I pursue? What person should I date? Whom should I marry? Maybe, well, should I pursue this business opportunity or maybe that one? Should I plant this in a particular year? When should I plant? When should I sell? What should I bid on this job? This is a big job. What do I bid? What do I do? Lord, would you help me? Lord, give me a sign. Well, maybe sometime you're pondering this decision, a course of action, though, and suddenly you come across a newspaper article. Maybe you're reading the Bible and suddenly something stands out or someone says something and you get a certain feeling. Is this a sign from God? Is this what I should do in this situation? Now we know God is in control of everything. We've seen that already. God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And he directs all things to the end he has appointed. His plan, his purpose, even our lives. That plan includes hardships and trials, joys and blessings. And if we're honest, we often want clear guidance, don't we? About the course of action we should take, the decisions, a course that will lead to earthly success. But God usually does not give signs for that. Nor does God always want us to have earthly success, does he? Maybe we think something might be a sign. Maybe we feel as though, isn't that God nudging me in a particular direction? And no doubt we could come across many things that could apply to our situation. But we need to be very careful when saying God told me to do this, or God led me to say something, or God wants me to have my best earthly life now. God moves in mysterious ways, that's true. But it's also true we have many of our own emotions and senses that they're not God's directly communicating with us. But be that it may, many people look for signs from God. Now, in that which is vital, important, most necessary for our well-being, God has given a clear sign, clear direction. What sinful man needs most, what you and I need most, is to have our sins forgiven, to have our sinfulness removed, to be reconciled to God. We need a Savior, and God has met our greatest need by sending his Son, Jesus, into the world to suffer, to die on the cross, the death on the cross, his resurrection. He has paid for our sins. He has removed them from us. He has obtained for us righteousness and life. By the work of his Spirit, he brings the glories of Christ to us. He does that. He tells us, turn from sin and trust in Jesus. That's the clear message of the Bible. That's the gospel call. To all who believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. God forgives your sins. That is clear. God does not leave assurance of his grace and his goodness to us up to our own emotions, our own experiences, to discerning some hard-to-read sign. God tells us plainly in his word. And he has ministers proclaim that good news, that wonderful comfort to his people week after week after week. And as a congregation, we confess it every week in the words of the Apostles' Creed. God speaks clearly. And he's given the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper as signs and seals of that salvation, of his grace in Jesus to all who believe. But there is another sign God has given, a sort of sign. Another pointer that salvation is found in Jesus alone, and that sign is the name given to the Redeemer, the name Jesus. So we read in Matthew 1, that name was not chosen haphazardly by Mary or by Joseph, parents here, perhaps, you know, looking at the name, what do we call our children? Some maybe do it at random. Some maybe name it for an ancestor. But here, an angel gave it. He instructed Joseph, name the child Jesus, and he gave a reason, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves, Yahweh saves, salvation. The name Jesus was given as a clear sign that this person is the Savior of God's people, our Redeemer. The name Mohammed doesn't mean that. The name Moses doesn't mean that. The name Buddha, pick any of the gods of Hinduism, pick any New Age guru. The name Jesus, from God himself, Savior, right there. You want a sign, it's there in his name. Think of that, congregation, as you consider your greatest need, how to be right with God. God has made it clear to all men, all women, that it is this man, Jesus, salvation is found. He is the only Savior. His name makes it plain. It's a clear sign. Do you ever doubt? Go back to his name. Here mankind is, dead in trespasses and sins, and then we encounter someone whose name is Jehovah Saves. That's an unmistakable sign, a clear sign. A sign truly sent from God. Look to this person, Jesus. Mary doesn't mean it. Paul doesn't mean it. Pope doesn't mean it. Jesus. That's why the Son of God is called Jesus, meaning Savior. Receive God's clear message to you, to the world, to mankind. And by his grace, believe this Savior. And as we move to in our second point, God not only gave this clear sign of his name, that this one is our Savior, but that this one alone is our complete Savior, complete Savior. We move to that in our second point. So if God gives us a sign, like the meaning of Jesus' name, as well as a clear message, repent and believe in Jesus, we do well to listen and to obey by his grace. God is so clear and directing us to Jesus, because Jesus is the complete Savior. And Jesus brings this out several places. We read from John 6 this evening. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus said that. Did Muhammad say it? Moses say it? Again, run through the list of holy men and prophets. Jesus claimed it of himself. Now, we should not think that because Jesus calls himself the bread of life, we need something in addition to him. I mean, maybe children, you think, well, I don't eat much bread in my day. Maybe your mom packs it for you for a sandwich. Maybe not. Well, back then, bread was basic. That's what they ate. We don't need anything in addition to this bread of life. Jesus makes clear, whoever comes to him, which he explains as believing in him, shall not hunger, shall never thirst even. See that? That bread even covers thirst. What kind of bread is that? Wonderful bread, bread from heaven. Our spiritual needs are supplied by Jesus, in Jesus, completely. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Believer, you know. On the one hand, there's this wonderful reality that regardless of how we feel, what we're going through, we are right with God. Our hunger, our thirst for righteousness, we saw that in the Beatitudes, our Matthew series, it's met by Jesus. He has fulfilled all righteousness. There's nothing more for us to do. God has accepted the suffering, the death of Christ as a complete payment and substitute for our own suffering and death, what we deserve, the penalty. In our place, we lack nothing in the sight of God. Before God's judgment throne, that's what justification is. God credits Christ's righteousness through faith alone. We are right with God. Nothing needs to be added. There's something more to our hunger and our thirst, though, in being satisfied. Where is meaning to be found? What about peace? Where can someone find lasting blessedness? Well, it's not in the things of this life. It's not in family. It's not in pleasure. It's not in sports. It's not in work. It's not in alcohol. It's not in drugs. It's not in television or movies. Now, some of those are good. Some of those are blessings from God, but not one of those and not all of them together or anything else together gives us what we need most. They might give a feeling of satisfaction for a time, or they might dull you to the emptiness of your life, the meaninglessness, the sorrow for time. You look around, and we find unbelieving family, unbelieving neighbors, and sadly, even some who claim to be believers, running after those things. Look at your own life. I look at my life. We run after these things too, don't we, in some measure? Even though we know that Jesus is the Savior. We know they don't meet our hunger, our thirst for wholeness. Jesus does. How? We already mentioned how he supplies the righteousness we need in God's sight. But there's something more. He sends his Holy Spirit to us. And his Spirit lives within us. True Christianity is not like man's religions. There is a supernatural reality undergirding Christianity. There is the true presence of God, the Holy Spirit, who unites us to Jesus, the Son of God, by faith. The Spirit who lives in our hearts. And this Holy Spirit gives us a peace that passes earthly understanding. Well, he doesn't do this out of the blue. He doesn't do it mystically. It's always through faith in Jesus, as we are by God's grace, resting and relying upon God's grace in Christ. And again, that's why in our worship, we emphasize the preaching of God's word, the preaching of Christ, because that's how the Holy Spirit brings the blessings of Christ to us. One of the blessings being peace that passes understanding. Now, many people say they pray for peace, they seek peace. We hear that a lot, don't we? But they don't look to Christ, do they? They don't look to Christ crucified, risen from the dead. They supposedly pray for peace or seek peace and then live as though Christ does not give peace. Christ who died to sin and raised from the dead, they pray for peace, but then they live in rebellion against God. They pray for peace, but they don't open their Bibles. They don't read and study about Jesus. How God's grace is found in Christ alone. They pray, and then they do what they want to do. They join some earthly organization. And such people are often discouraged, disillusioned, perhaps, with Christianity. Maybe you've heard them say, I tried that. It wasn't anything better than Buddhism. It wasn't any better than watching a movie or drinking or spending time with family. Well, no kidding. You weren't living by faith in Jesus, and your prayer reached no higher than your head. Of course, your hunger and thirst was not satisfied by Jesus. You didn't come to him. Deceived yourself. What did Jesus say? Verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. There's no try before you buy with Jesus. There's no taking him out for a test drive before committing. Now we think of this one perspective. By nature, we're spiritually dead. A dead person can't go for a test drive or try Jesus before committing. God must give us life. By grace, we do entrust ourselves to Jesus. Use the illustration before. You've heard it from other sources, I imagine. It's like putting on a parachute. You're in a plummeting plane. By God's grace, you do it or you don't. Every person in the world is hungry and thirsty. That is, every person needs spiritual life. But very few hunger and thirst for Christ. That is, very few actually come to Christ. This coming, this believing about which Jesus speaks, it's not something that just goes on in one's mind. It's not just some knowledge of Christ or claiming to speak words to him. How can we describe it to someone who's unregenerate? Oh, it's not like there's some super feeling within the regenerate. Sometimes it's very ordinary. But it's a casting ourselves wholly and wholeheartedly upon Jesus, entrusting ourselves to him. It's hearing the gospel that Jesus is the Son of God who has met our need for righteousness and life by his death and resurrection, and by God's grace, casting ourselves and saying, Jesus, save me. It is, knowledge is included, convictions included, but it's especially that trust. To all who do this, you're satisfied. Satisfied with Christ's righteousness credited to you in God's sight, Christ's Spirit indwelling you, bringing you peace. If you don't know this, cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. Forgive me. Change me. Are you looking for purpose and meaning elsewhere? Do you know the emptiness that is in all of us by nature, all around? Have you tried pleasure? Are you trying pleasure, money, drugs, other things, finding them lacking? That's no surprise. They are empty. Are you right now involved in drugs? Are you right now involved in pornography, drinking? Those are dead ends. Jesus is the perfect and complete Savior. Jesus alone. It's not just what we confess. It's true. Trust him. Young people, young adults, you hear the world, you hear your own flesh, the devil calling to you, beer, marijuana, other drugs, cutting yourself, sensual pleasures, pornography. Don't be deceived. These temptations, they promise you the world. They deliver nothing. Nothing lasting. They are hollow, they're empty, even worse, they're harmful, if not physically, spiritually, when pursued apart from God. Apart from faith in Christ. Why look elsewhere for food, for drink? Come to Jesus, and you shall hunger no more. Believe in him, and you shall never thirst. And as you and I go through life, with its pleasures, its pains, its blessings and trials, grow in your faith in Jesus, always looking unto him, resting in him. As you do so, you have that peace. Oh, we're tossed. We have stresses, we have anxieties, but we counter them with Christ. All those who come to Jesus, what does he say? I will never cast out. Never. He's a complete Savior. Unless someone think that Christianity is good only for this life, that it gives a psychological boost, calm, emotional calm. Verse 39, Jesus said, This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Believers in Jesus, we in this life, we have peace. We're right with God. But after this life, the last day, when God sends Jesus back to this earth, he will raise our dead bodies from the grave. We have a need of righteousness. We have a need for our mortal bodies to be transformed to overcome death. Christ gives all that. He is a complete Savior. And there's more. Verse 40. Jesus said, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." Eternal life. We're blessed in this life. We're blessed with resurrection after this life. We're blessed with life that never ends. That's the spiritual nourishment Christ gives, the salvation he has brought that's in him. Again, Muhammad, Buddha, do they have it? No. Beer, alcohol, drugs, they have it? No. Christ. Why is it that belief in Jesus then is so powerful? Well, it's not because of faith itself. It's kind of a trick question. But as Jesus teaches in verse 51, it's because of Jesus. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. God saves. He saves only by Jesus. He is a complete Savior. Jesus lacks nothing that you need, that I need, that anyone needs for time and eternity, for body, for soul. Trust him every day. By God's grace, don't waver in your trust. As we move to in our third point, be a consistent seeker, a consistent seeker. Now, often in this life, we hedge. That is, what's the expression? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Even the scriptures, book of Ecclesiastes, encourage diversifying. That way, if one thing fails, you've got a backup plan. We're not locked into one option, and that makes sense in the things of this life. After all, one customer, hey, he might not do very well. He might go out of business. Another customer might do well and buy more of your product. Corn prices could rise, bean prices could fall. Or in a different but related way, think of what we eat. We don't eat all the same food all the time, but we change things around. Yes, for variety, but for nutrition. Children, your mother, she doesn't just give you the same meal over and over and over, the same food, an apple, an apple, an apple, an apple. She changes it. You have a balanced diet of dairy, of grains, of fruits and vegetables. We often diversify. We do this. And those are good. In this life, nothing's for sure. We need to supplement where something's lacking. That's fine. That's good for earthly welfare, not for spiritual. God saves only by Jesus. He is a complete Savior. Therefore, we are to seek him alone. We are to be consistent seekers of Jesus, acknowledging that in him is all that we need. Trusting him alone. And the person who says they're a believer, who boasts, as the Catechism brings out, boasts of being his, but tries to add other things, other persons. By their deeds, they deny. Someone might say, well, what's wrong with praying to the Virgin Mary? What's wrong? Why do I have to give up my own efforts to be right with God? Maybe it'd be good to acknowledge Muhammad is a prophet. I mean, what if that religion is right? Now, that strikes us as obviously wrong, doesn't it? But maybe we shouldn't take that for granted. Young people, you're looking for a spouse, you're going to date someone. Who are they looking to for salvation? Get into conversations like this. Don't be afraid to talk spiritual matters. These are important. Don't just say, well, they go to a church, that's good enough. They say they believe in Jesus. Dig into this. But then also in our lives, we have inconsistencies. We worry, don't we? We're tempted to it. You worry about the future. You worry about the past. Do you worry about your weaknesses, others' weaknesses? What do you do with your worries? Well, it's not wrong to try to solve earthly problems, to take prudent steps, but where is our trust? You take them to the Lord in prayer, these worries, these concerns. I need to do it. We all need to do it. And as you seek to take prudent steps to solve earthly worries, do you think the solution is in your hands? Are you looking to yourself? Are you praying over these decisions? Young people, are you praying who you should date, who you should marry? Are you praying about what job or what college? That's a big sign of, what am I looking for? Now, of course, we brought already how prayer could be done in not the right way, but pray about these decisions. It's done in a right way. Take them to the Lord. Now, perhaps you and I don't look outright for spiritual salvation in places or persons other than Jesus, but where are you looking for security? In whom? From whom? Why? That insurance policy? The government retirement account? Something else? Well, if only I could get a good education. If only I could make one more sale this week. If only we could get some rain. If only he'd leave me alone. If only I, if only he or she, if only. That's where we often find our sins of practically doubting Jesus as the complete, perfect Savior. Oh, Jesus won't make a sale for you. We're not saying that. Although in his providence, he brings all things to pass. Jesus won't bring earthly success to his people without fail. We're not saying that. True Christianity is not a religion that proclaims health and wealth in this life to those who believe. Name it and claim it. No, that's not Christianity. But what are you looking for? Where are you looking? Where are you looking for wholeness, for blessedness, for peace, for meaning, for security? Don't look to earthly success or health. Don't look to earthly relationships for comfort. Understanding Christ alone, Jesus, Savior, is salvation, is security. And this is so because only through Jesus is there righteousness in life. We read in Galatians, the Apostle Paul's warning to the church there. They were in danger of listening to some who proclaimed a different gospel. Verses 8 through 9. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. It's a strong word, anathema, accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Oh, those Galatians would say, you have to trust Jesus, but then also, in their case, add circumcision. But the gospel proclaimed to you, the gospel you have professed to believe, is that salvation is found in Christ alone. Salvation, that which matters most, not only in the spiritual realm, but in all of life. Here is the kingdom of heaven. Christ has brought it to us. By his suffering, his death on the cross, his resurrection, he causes us to participate in this kingdom. And it's blessedness by sending his Spirit to us. The gospel defines what security is, not the world. What security we should look for, we should desire, we should pursue, we should cast ourselves on Christ for. We are to be consistent seekers of this complete Savior. God saves only by Jesus. And not only do some people say you have to believe in Jesus and something or someone else, add a Savior alongside Jesus. But many others desire a salvation to be, well, that's only things that deal with Sunday or small parts of your life. The kingdom of heaven has come into our life, to our realm. And the salvation of Jesus, it touches every area, every moment of life. It all comes under his lordship, all under his salvation. Yes, the things of this life are passing away, but your labor done in the Lord has meaning, has value, is not in vain, whether it's done on Sunday or other days of the week. And therefore, by God's grace, look to Christ for security, for salvation, not in yourself, not elsewhere, only and always in Jesus. Not only on Sunday, every day of the week. Not only for the things that the world thinks are religious, but in all things. He's a perfect Savior. And therefore, brothers and sisters, when that temptation comes, to look for what the world looks for, security related to the world, security coming from this world, that temptation is there. By God's grace, resist it. Strive to be good stewards of what God has given you. Strive to serve God and neighbor in this life, but always know and believe these things are passing away. There's no security, there's no peace, there's no lasting meaning. Those lasting meaning, peace, security, life are found in Christ, in Him alone. Anyone who's telling you anything else is in essence saying a false gospel. As the Catechism teaches in question answer 30, although such people boast of being His, claim to belong to Jesus, claim to be a Christian, by their deeds they deny the only Savior Jesus. By God's grace, let that not be said of you. Cast yourself on God's grace in Christ always. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, don't put your trust anywhere else, in anyone in addition. And living in faith, resting in Christ, you have salvation. You have security. Be at peace. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful Savior you've given, a complete Savior. You've made it so clear, even with His name, Jesus. Savior. Lord, by nature our hearts are hard, but you have already broken through. You have given us life, but still we are so dull of hearing. Continue to strengthen our faith. May we look only to Jesus. May we not be pulled aside by the false promises of any other Savior. Cast ourselves completely on Jesus always. May we live that way. May it show up in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.